This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
It is what we do, baby!
This is Race Wars. Race
Wars. I have the power!
With Kurt Metzger.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
And Sherrod Small.
Settle down, bitch.
Race Wars.
Oh, Race Wars, we back, motherfucker, motherfucker. Race Wars, we back, motherfucker, motherfucker. Ah, it's good to be back in the building. I'm here holding it down. Kurt, missing in action. I mean, dancing for Jews in L.A., it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of concentration. Yeah, he's still out in L.A. Hopefully we'll have some pop-up shows for him soon. Karen, say hi to the people.
Hello, Z.
Hey, Karen, how was your L.A.? Weren't you in L.A.?
I was in L.A.
And what were you doing out there? Did you see Kurt?
I did see Curdy.
And what did he say? Did he say something?
He said, Sherrod, great job.
All right, good. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, I saw, that was it, really. I was just kicking it in L.A. for a sec. And then me and Abby Rosenquist, my
Yeah, that's right.
Partner,
I saw Abby, yeah. Ashley got a good booty on her.
She
always
does,
say that about her.
She does.
She got a solid tush.
I'm right here. thank you. And then we went to Omaha, Nebraska. And she...
From L.A.?
Yeah.
Would you lose a bet? Who makes
she
that transition?
She was doing spots up there, and Okay. Then we just like did some shows together. It was really fun.
Oh, that's awesome. The shows were great in Omaha?
They were great. Oh, my
yeah,
God. Omaha's
a good
a
time.
Cool scene.
Oh, it's a good scene.
Yeah,
good
I didn't
scene.
Know.
Yeah. You know who has family and grew up in a short time in Omaha? You
I
might
don't
not
know.
Know this.
Uh-uh.
Godfrey.
I did not know.
I know you don't know stuff. Y'all don't know anything about anything.
I don't.
Never thought I was going to say Godfrey, did you?
Nope.
Yeah, his parents went out there from Nigeria, went to college out there, then they moved to Illinois
sure
or whatever.
It was going
to
be one of the white.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's something like that. I mean, I just know my history of stuff. I know my friends.
I thought it was going to be one of the Petes.
Pete?
I was like, it's going to be one of it's
the whitest,
be
yeah.
One of the white Petes.
Yes,
one.
And it wasn't.
One of the, I was betting on a white Pete.
I definitely thought it was going to be a white dude.
Yeah.
We need t-shirts that says betting on a white Pete.
Betting on a white Pete.
She introduced herself to the people. Come on.
Oh, this is stand-up comedian Gina Brione here with some of my favorite people.
Now, Gina, this is your first time here, no?
This is, yes.
That can't be right.
This is the first time.
You're always out somewhere doing comedy.
I am. I'm always, you know, always working, got a wedding payoff. And
that's right. You do. You were married. You're getting married or you weren't got married?
Got married already.
Yes, that's right.
And,
yeah, thank you.
Yes.
So, got to pay them bills. So, I'm usually out and spend a lot of time in L.A. actually, too.
Now, you didn't marry a comic, though, right?
No, a musician.
Oh.
Oh, you,
what's that
oh,
like?
That bad choice.
Oh. Oh, the only worst choice. You
so
found
you're,
it.
You're both financially screwed. Yeah, exactly. So what day jobs are you guys going to get?
Oh, you married for love.
Oh, my day.
Married for love like a fool. Karen, you're my white daughter.
Who
I say
does
never.
That?
Never marry for love. I tell her all the time. You go for the loot. God damn it.
Yes, the loot.
I don't care if y'all
Pinky
smooch.
Smalls, give me the loot.
You make sure that I got a summer house.
That's what everyone said to me.
Can we pay these bills? I don't love you then. I don't love you then.
Facts.
James is here too. James, say hi to the people.
What up, what up, what up? Your boy's here for the 100th time. I don't know if it's the 100th, but I'm happy to be here.
I think it's your third, I think.
It's like fourth.
Fourth?
Four. Yeah, I made the four.
That's always great.
When I make five, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
I'm changing the game on five. But I'm here, baby. Let's get it popping.
Yes. Now, you grew up where?
I grew up in the South Bronx.
My apologies, first off.
Hey, that's how
Fat
hood.
Joe tried to stab you and how...
He's my cousin.
So he definitely tried to stab you.
Oh, absolutely.
Were you neighbors with Cardi B or yes?
No. She lives... I actually don't know where she lives in the Bronx or lived in the
you
Bronx.
You were Castle Hill, right?
But I was closer to Castle Hill. Yeah. I was all the way by Hunts Point. Not Hunts Point. I'm sorry.
Oh, over there tricking in the point? Yeah, over there tricking in the point. I saw it on HBO, goddamn it. I know what
you remember
girl's
my face
about.
From that? From HBO?
I remember
I was
all
the way
kid,
on the south.
As a young kid, I used to drive my Toyota Tercel up there just to look. All the way from Brooklyn now.
That's what you used
all
to
do?
Just to look?
Just to look around like this. She butt naked. Yeah, me and my boy Greg. She nagging her still titties. Ah, the circle the block broke.
Something for the spank break. The spank bank later.
And you went, what high school did you go to in the Bronx?
I went to Lehman High School.
Lehman, I know some people who went to Lehman.
In Thug's Neck.
Yeah.
So bootleg, they call it Thug's Neck. It's all an Italian neighborhood. It's like the most residential suburban looking part of the Bronx. And every Thug's time Neck. You meet somebody from there, they'll be like Thug's Neck. I'm like, no,
just
try to make it a thing.
Yeah.
Now, Now, what kind of Spanish are you? Puerto Rican?
Puerto Rican, yeah.
Now, who you had beef with? You had beef with the Dominicans up there?
I never personally had beef with nobody. That's the thing.
I don't buy it. That don't sound like the Bronx I know. You had to almost stab or almost fight. How many times you got jumped?
I never got jumped. I did get into a fist fight.
Here we go. Okay, somebody, slow down.
When I was in...
somebody fuck with your man?
With my twin sister.
You got a twin sister?
I have an identical twin sister.
You burying the lead. How do I even know I'm talking to you right now? You have an identical twin sister?
I do, yeah.
What? Yeah. Do you ever got to like do two shows? You're like this. Look, bitch. Just do that show
Take
for
these
me.
Jokes. Do these jokes.
Get that
me.
Money. I'm going to be over
not
here again.
Deviate.
Oh, I would send them out on so many shows that I, every time I double book, I'm like, you're working tonight.
But you got to give them the worst gig. You got
to
be like, no,
oh, yeah,
you,
they take the hell.
Yeah.
They take
no,
the
you
hell
go
gig.
To the little yeah. bar I'm doing in Harlem.
I'll be at the Garden.
That's the one. Yeah.
I'll be at Madison Square Garden.
That's all you.
Identical twin sister.
Yeah, I have an identical twin
sister.
So
who's hotter?
I think she is, honestly, because she actually like plays it like she straightens her hair all the time.
She don't have the bitterness of comedy.
She doesn't. She hasn't been beaten down by this
yeah. And
I would like to disagree, bestie.
Yeah.
She hasn't had her soul sucked out of her from comedy.
Yeah, that comedy had knocked that identical right out of you.
Life in her eyes.
Yeah. What does she do?
She's a personal trainer.
Okay, oh, yeah. Nice.
And she's amazing at her job. She is probably, when I've trained with her, she's just incredible.
She's a beast, huh?
Yeah, she's a really great trainer.
Now, what happened? Somebody tried to jump your twin sister.
Somebody, I had heard that she was getting into an argument with a guy. I was in junior
high
school. Yeah, and I was like, you know, what the hell do you mean? So I walked over to her classroom, and I see this guy in my sister's face, and he shoved her.
No.
So what? I jumped on his back and start punching him like on his
like
back and in the back
Puerto
of the like a mad Puerto Rican. And then he like whips me around and he punches me in the face. And,
what?
And I did the girl thing, grabbed him, took a chunk of skin out of his face, like literally just scratched him while my sister pushed him. So now it's 2-on-1.
Right.
This guy's getting the crap kicked out of him. And we were all brought to the principal's office. My parents weren't even mad. My dad was like, you defended your sister.
Facts.
You did the right thing. And he was like, whatever. He went in there and was mad and yelling at the principal and was
right.
like, why was this kid starting with my daughter in the
yeah.
first place? Like,
yeah.
why? Like, why? I don't know why my daughter's right here. They were just defending themselves.
Where's yep. an adult to jump in there and say, yeah. what the fuck, you jumping in a little girl's face?
They're yeah. ethnics well, fighting. We don't jump into those.
And how old were you?
Those fights.
How old were you when this happened?
I was probably, I want to say about like 14, 15 maybe.
Yeah, that's a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good fight. That's a good stretching.
Yeah, I was like, nah, you're not going to push my sister.
And who was the boy?
I don't remember. I don't
did
even remember
Did y'all see him
name.
Later on? Or?
We did. He was very apologetic. Like, I don't even know what happened.
He had a bad
happened.
Day. It happens. Yeah. Everybody have a bad day. You punch a Puerto
punch
Rican girl in the face.
Every,
we all been through it. Okay? We all had those kind of sour days.
Every now
days.
And then, you just got to punch a Puerto Rican in the face. That's just... I wake up with that philosophy every single day. Punch a Puerto Rican in the face if you have to.
And how many siblings do you have other than your
there's,
twin?
There's five of us all together.
That's the Puerto Rico I'm talking about.
Yes.
Six.
Race there's wars.
Six if we count James as our adopted
no,
brother.
Dad counts me. So it's six
children.
Of us. Six.
And they all live where now? In the Bronx?
No. My twin sister lives in Jersey. My okay. eldest sister, she lives in Cali. My eldest brother lives in Maryland, and my other brother lives in Queens.
Okay. They are all spread out. Huh?
And I also live in Queens.
Spreading those genes out.
You keep forgetting me, bestie.
And my final brother lives in Far Rockaway.
So thank y'all you. Adopted James. Is that the, yes. that's what's going on?
Yes. He met my parents once, and they've taken to him. He was on like the family text message the next day, and I was like, what?
He has that kind of personality.
I'm like, can you stop infiltrating
that's how,
my
that's
family?
That's how I got you on, too.
He's the kind of... He'll beat you to your parents' house for Thanksgiving. He's already there. Calvin shit.
I was there this weekend.
Yeah, he was at my parents' house this weekend taking pictures in the bedroom that is reserved for me going, oh, you lost your bedroom.
just
trying to start something.
Lord have his mercy. And how did your family feel about when you first said you're going to be a comedian?
They kind of knew it was inevitable. It was my mom who entered me in my first stand-up comedy competition.
Oh, a momager.
Yeah. Mm. She was very much
it's
like...
Chris Kardashian is goddamn true.
You know, but with a soul.
Facts.
There like,
let me imagine that for a minute.
She actually cares about her children. We're not just floating dollar signs to her. She did. She was like, she knew I wanted to be a performer. There
and
was
it was
no
like
way.
A competition or an open mic that she...
It was... the funniest person from the Bronx. And me and my twin sister were both entered into it. She entered us both. So we were competing against each other. We both won third place. I'm pretty sure because they couldn't tell the difference. And then we went back for the callbacks, and I don't remember my sister's set. Like, honestly, I don't even think she remembers.
Do you remember
it.
who came in first place?
I do. I don't remember
somebody
his name.
Who's not in the business no more.
Yeah, he's not
even close.
He's
did
not.
Did you add him on Facebook? Or MySpace or something like that?
Because I was like, oh, I thought, like, at that time, I was like, oh, he must be a legit comic because right. he's funnier than all of us, so he must be, like, known.
Right.
And I was like, I'm not gonna add him. I'm gonna look like a lame if I'm just trying to follow some dude I met at a show. But I was kind of like, oh, it's. I guess he deserves it. Like, and he could have been the wackest comic ever at that point. I didn't know anything better. Right. But I was like, he deserves it. You know, he was the funniest out of all of us. He was like a Puerto Rican dude. Real funny guy.
Real funny guy, yeah.
But I don't remember his name. I just remember that he killed that
He's
night.
He's a real funny he janitor now.
He killed it. And then I've never seen him since.
Never seen him since performing.
Nope. Never
That's
seen him.
That's how the business is.
He's you Jesus the super now.
Right? It's like the dude in a fucking in a ballpark, a fucking basketball yard who can play better than Jordan.
But he ain't going nowhere.
And you put the work in.
Lordy.
He had all the abilities.
Yeah, it was something else. It was definitely my first, because it was the first thing I did when I did the first show. And made it to the second rounds of the show. I had a great set.
Right.
When I made it to the callbacks, I bombed so bad.
Really?
Oh, that bomb still sticks with me.
Oh, like? They always do, man. A good bomb sticks with you. You can't get away from it.
What was your jokes like?
It haunts you.
I don't remember.
Wait, why did you bomb, though? Why do you think that time you bombed? Because
I didn't know. First of all, I was nervous.
Okay, more nervous.
The second time.
Okay, yeah.
Then I was afraid. The first time was all excitement. The first time was all, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is going to be so much fun.
Right.
And then the second, I think because it was like, oh, now this isn't just my friends. These are strangers I'm trying to make laugh.
Right.
Because the first one you also had to bring people to. So it was a bringer. So I was like, oh my God, I don't have any of my friends here. Like, am I going to be funny to anybody except my friends? And all of that anxiety got to me.
Oh,
I did a prop joke. I don't remember what it was.
You brought a prop one
here? It was a prop joke.
If it was a piece of fruit, I swear to God, I'm going to be so angry at everything Spanish inside of you. I peeled the mango. I peeled the orange. Oh no, she did not say that.
You don't remember what your prop was?
I think it was, if I'm remembering correctly, I think it was a water gun, but I don't remember what
God,
I was doing with it. I bombed so bad.
And was it a packed room? Like, what was the room
it
like?
It was packed.
It was packed.
Wall to wall people. I was like, I never want to show my face again. I was so sensitive when I started.
They didn't boo, though. They just didn't laugh.
They just didn't laugh, yeah. It wasn't like I got booed.
It's even worse.
Yeah, but like the silence is like.
They don't care.
That deafening, you should have chosen a different career path silence.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's the worst.
That hurts. Wait, where was this?
This was at Stand Up New York for the callbacks.
Oh, okay.
When they called me back a few weeks later. And I was like, no, not the stage I started on will simultaneously be the stage I end on because I don't want to do this.
What?
Full circle.
Okay. I ate it the worst I ever ate it here, too.
At Stand Up?
Really? Yeah, it really hurt my feelings.
What happened?
I was fighting. It was so brutally bad. And
it was packed?
No, it wasn't packed.
Okay.
It was really, really empty. And there were these kids, like teenage girls. And not only did
they hated you.
Not like
they
me.
They hated you.
They hated me. Oh my God. And they did the worst thing teenagers can do, which was laugh at me. Not my jokes. Me. Just me flailing up there. They were like, ha. And I was like, oh, no.
You're like my childhood.
I had flashbacks to every back brace trauma PTSD I ever had. It was so, I was fighting. Me and Kurt were living together and fighting.
That's crazy.
At the time, and like a fight where like I'd stormed out, we're still fighting. And I was like, I'm doing the spot. And I came back and I was so upset. The fight was just over.
Oh, that's cool.
Life beat
because
you.
Because we had to pick one. And I was too upset to keep fighting. I was like, it's okay. I'm too sad.
My hopes have been dashed.
It hurt for months.
Oh, my God.
Every now and then you still think about that bomb, too.
I'm like, ah.
But my worst bomb wasn't here. My worst bomb was at a gig in Connecticut. Uh-huh. I had about 5 minutes. It was one of those all Latino shows, and it was a club that they had, dance club they converted to a comedy club for the night.
Yeah.
Always a great idea.
Those are the classics.
Oh, it was, and the patrons had no idea. They walked in expecting to dance.
Oh.
Comedy night.
Oh.
So this see, is that's a just a wonderful setup. Scenario.
There's cruel. A DJ booth on the stage with a Puerto Rican flag draped over it. I'm like, this is going to be a mess.
It was your Apollo moment.
Oh my God.
Who else was on the show? Like, it was
it
a
was
pack
me,
show?
Mugga.
Okay.
Sarah Contreras. It was all the people that did either the black or the Latin rooms.
Right.
It was obviously a hood room. Like this place. This
and
spot.
They came and the audience came in here expecting to dance.
Yes.
And it's a comedy show.
Yes.
That's a
And so I was supposed to open up.
Comedy can never take the place of music.
No.
It's just
disappointing.
Or literally anything else.
People walked in just disappointed already.
Like, it's like you're going to see Led Zeppelin and be like, well, first we got a comic. It's like this is gonna be a hell gig.
Oh, yeah. So they told me I'm opening the show and I'm supposed to do 10 minutes. I have all of like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. This is, mind you, I have 5 minutes of material. So for 5 minutes, it's going okay.
Right.
I'm already opening for a bunch of people that are angry that they're there in the first place.
Right. And you went on, okay, so you went on
first.
Who was hosting? Did they do enough time?
I think it was Arnold Acevedo.
And then he do good time? Did he get the audience
I'm
at least
focused?
I'm
pretty sure he did enough. He did what he could do, but it was definitely one of those gigs where I don't even think he wanted to stay on stage.
Right.
Because he was just like, I remember him getting off stage and I got on stage 5 minutes into my set. I'm doing good. The minute six hits, I got nothing.
Right.
I have nothing. There's nothing in the chamber. I got nothing off the top of my head.
Right.
I am just
Oh no.
And so that goes on.
They're like, Mira, she got nothing. And Mira, she got nothing.
Yeah, and she ain't singing neither.
I would have preferred that to what did happen.
What they do.
By minute seven, because they can tell I have nothing left.
Right.
They started yelling out other job options I should have chosen. They started yelling out stuff like, she'd make a good cop, like to each other. Not even to me, just to each other. Like, oh, I no longer, it's like I'm on a television.
They cut you off.
Completely. And the host comes running up to the stage. I am just mortified. Yeah. I want to die. Because it's being broadcast live on Connecticut radio.
Yeah. Oh,
so that's not bad enough.
God.
Did you tell all your people to listen? Was your family listening crying?
I called my sister, my twin sister, right away, and I was like, I don't want to do comedy anymore. I was so tired. God.
What did your sister say?
She was like, shut up. She already knew. She was like, you're not going to stop. Because she would get it from me every time I would have a bad set. I mean, I started at 17, so I was this emotional teenager in this world of grown-ups that was 90% male. So it was like me and a bunch of dudes that I had to gauge their level of creepiness.
Yeah, you're a little Puerto Rican, little 17-year-old sweet Puerto Rican girl.
Yeah.
What, you want to tell jokes, Mom? One.
Was the level ever jokes. Not high? The levels do not drop.
There were a few that had no creepiness factor really with me. So I was like, okay, you're safe to be around. And then there were people like I was immediately like,
danger.
No, never. We will never be in a room alone together.
And did your mother like accompany you, or did you just do it by yourself when you're 17?
When I was doing stand-up, I had like this crazy schedule because I had started the year I graduated, I started.
Right.
So I started at 17 on the cusp of turning like 18.
Right.
And so when I got to college, I had a full-time college schedule, two waitressing jobs, and I did comedy every night. So I did 14 shows a week.
Wow. Yeah.
Like I was doing any little bar room, anything I could do. And
that's
my parents,
you gotta do it.
Their only stipulation was go to college, get a degree. Other than that, we know that you want to do stand-up.
Right.
We know this is what you want to do. If you're going to be... And all I had to do was be honest with them. And I was. And they would come to some of the clubs, and they would... Just so they could see it.
What the... Yeah.
Like, the one I was...
It is a nightclub, after all. And
exactly.
You're a little girl,
And I would get a little bit nervous the sketchier the clubs would get. I'd be like, no, I'm really safe here. I know it looks like a crack den, but...
Tonight I'm performing at a place called Knife Fight. Yeah, it's a midnight show. It should be cool.
It's going to be great. They
it's
have
a BYO knife. Yeah, you got a BYO knife, though. You can't. Yeah. They don't pass out knives for you.
I get my own armed guard, though, so I think I'll be okay.
Oh, that's funny.
They would come and they would check out some of the shows. My parents would just sit through one of the shows. My dad almost fought a comic once.
Why?
Because he sang a perverted song about me. Like, I was on before
him.
Oh,
he told me that story.
And the comic went up with a guitar, and it was like that. Oh, is that your daughter? And just started singing this super dirty. And my dad's like, old school gangster. Like, my dad is like,
hood.
He will fight you for no reason. Just because it's Tuesday. He won't care.
And so, like, for he just sat there seething, and the whole time I was like, oh, he's going to kill this man. And then I think it was Gene Pompa that went up after this guy and defused the whole situation, like, made my dad laugh.
Okay.
And my dad went up to the guy after, the one that sang the dirty, and calmly talked to him and was like, that guy just saved your life.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I was going to beat the shit out of you because that's my daughter. Yeah. And I was like, damn. Daddy almost killed somebody.
At the comedy show.
At the comedy show.
That would have been your hour special, though, right there.
Right there. My dad killed somebody at a comedy show.
Ah, there'd be some good jokes in there.
As long as I do it in a dimly lit theater, everyone will buy it.
You yelling, Poppy, no.
Poppy, no.
Poppy, no.
You beat this dude to death.
A little animated clips of me crying over the body.
What kind of jokes were you telling that your parents would see? Like, was it anything dirty?
I never was a real, like, dirty comic. I used to curse a little bit on stage.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You did not.
Mira, come on.
Yes, a little bit. And then I
guess now you don't curse at all on stage?
Not really, no. Okay. Yeah. I just don't do it. It wasn't a conscious choice.
It's just what happened, yeah.
It's just kind of what fell into place and worked out for me, because when I would curse on stage, it was like I could see the audience go like, oh, Gina, no. Yeah. Like, you could see it in their face. They were like, that's not you. And so I was like, let me try it without the curse words. And so it just worked out, and it became a way for me to just learn how to self-edit too. Mm-hmm. Like, even when I'm on stage and learning how to, like, kind of do stuff like that. And also made it easier when people were like, we need a TV clean set. I'm like, great, here you go.
Now, how your parents feel about all this Trump stuff now?
You know what? It's hard to talk to them about it because they've had so many. I mean, my parents, my mom.
I think
mom
your father
loves,
would be pro Trump.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Somebody in that family pro Trump.
I don't know. Not in my immediate
like uncle,
family.
Like uncle, your grandfather, who?
Maybe one of my older relatives that, like, lives in Florida is
that,
like,
you don't talk
that guy's
to no
not
more?
So bad.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, maybe,
yeah, Floridians
maybe
on it.
Yeah, I feel like Floridians or, like, I was on a cruise ship once. Cruise ship people are very, like, usually are very pro. Trump supporters.
Yeah,
like, that's Trump supporters.
Yeah, that's middle America out there.
Because they can afford to be on a cruise. Like, of course, I'm working. So we have a totally different dynamic. Yeah. But whenever you tell, like, political jokes, it's always so funny to see. Like, anybody I know that's made a Trump joke on a
cruise,
ship.
Right.
It's just like.
Ain't it?
Yeah.
Really?
The joke just bombs.
Oh.
Or you'll have
just
half
you
of the
mention
room.
It, they just assume what you're going to say. Even if the, before the joke
before
even
the
get
joke
to be a joke.
They just heard Trump.
Yeah. Sometimes I did one once on a ship, and it was a small ship, and it completely divided the crowd.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you could
for the
tell.
Rest of the cruise, there's like this. Mm. She thinks she know better than the president. This bitch thinks she know better than the president.
That's why they should send y'all all home.
That's
from the Bronx.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, the thing that blew my mind more so than dealing with, like, Trump supporters in a crowd on a ship, because that doesn't surprise me. Was the dude that Darren Knight, guy that made it into the Variety's 10 comics to watch.
Right.
Is that his name? I think
that's
it was Darren
Knight.
Who's
the alt-right dude or something?
Yeah, that went to Montreal and had it out with Dulce and them. Like, I was like, how did this guy's stuff get past you guys? Like, how? How is that possible?
How did his material, you mean?
Yeah. I'm like, how did you guys not know that this was going to happen?
What he was about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the guy who ate it, right? Did he?
He ate it really bad and got booed off stage.
What, is JFL? He like a Facebook dude or something? Or?
He's like, I think, internet famous for a character that he does called Southern Mama or something like that. It's a very just...
And then they
and what's the character about? Like, what's the material?
I didn't get to see any of his material.
I'm sure you Googled it and laughed.
I Googled it. And I don't remember what I watched. I watched like 3 seconds of a video.
His other video.
Oh, the other video, the booing thing was only a few minutes of it, like a few seconds of it on, like, I think I saw it on Dulce's page or somebody else's page when they posted it. But I heard about it when I was in Montreal.
Oh, so tell me what you heard or what you heard about it.
So what I heard.
And this dude's name again is David.
I think it's Darren Knight.
Darren Knight. Darren Knight.
That's the correct
one. It also sounds like one of the Backstreet Boys. Ain't that one of the boys named Darren Knight?
All right.
I know one of them niggas is Darren Knight.
He's a 98 degree. Greaser, so get it right.
98 degrees.
He's 34, though.
What the fuck is a degreaser?
It's a member of 98 degrees. I totally understood what degreaser
made a lot
was.
Of sense.
I'll teach you white references, and you can teach me every. He rattled off like 12 movies, black movies.
That she had no idea.
I thought it was
not
another language.
One.
And then he got up here. I'm talking about this lip balm or whatever, and he's like, blah, 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 blah. I did not know what you were saying to me.
Big lip. lips. Ah.
I need help understanding more black. That's what I'm saying.
We're gonna start off with John.
And I'm saying I need help, so I'm coming to you.
I just try to keep it away from you. I just try to say no, she ain't ready for it.
No, I'm
she
ready. Ready for
keep it away from black
I'm
stuff.
Tabasco
black sauce. Stuff. What else she can't handle?
black stuff.
Dances with any complicated footwork.
What are you trying to say about my retarded feet, Dad?
You got sweet feet. I always call
you
them sweet
are
feet.
My dad who raised me. This is mostly your fault. And now these nice people have to come and fix what you broke.
Right, let's get back to this.
So, what happened?
What I heard was that they were in the green room, and
this is at one of the theaters in Montreal.
Yeah,
so it's packed.
It's packed, okay. And this apparently this had happened before the whole thing being filmed. And Amanda might have the whole thing filmed. I don't know, but. They were in the green room, and Dulce was having problems with her throat. She wasn't feeling well, and she had to do like a long show.
So who else was on the show?
It was Amanda Sillis.
Amanda Sillis. A friend. I love Amanda. Sills. She's my people.
She's very, very cool. It was my first time meeting her in Montreal.
Oh, we did Best We Gave Her together.
Yeah. And Dulce and Darren. Trying to think of who
Darren.
Who else.
Darren, okay.
Darren and whoever was on the Variety's 10 list was on this show.
So this was the Variety's 10 list.
The Variety show.
Okay.
And so I heard they were backstage, and Dulce wasn't really talking a lot because her throat hurt.
Right.
And so she was kind of keeping to herself, but he was trying to have a conversation with her. But I guess she wasn't responding enough
for him,
for his liking.
Right.
Yeah. So he ends up going off on her
in the green room
and saying a bunch of like racist stuff and like all these terrible things. Right.
In the green room.
In the green room. Right. Then he goes out on stage and his act is just as like laced with racism and just as laced with just stupidity. And towards the end of his act, which we only clip I saw, he like is lecturing the audience about how comedy shouldn't be about race, how comedy should be about bringing people together. Like he did some sort of half-hearted BS
but
heal
he just
the world
did all that.
This was after
speech.
The booze or?
This was after he was getting booed off stage. Then as he was leaving the theater, he said bye to Dulce and he called her precious.
Ooh.
Wow.
And
I was like, when I found that out, I was like,
how did he not get those hands?
Yeah. I was like, he would have
because
got
who
going to
throw hands in Montreal? These niggas are soft as mashed potatoes.
Godfrey will throw hands wherever he's at. Godfrey will throw those hands.
Sherrod is a hand thrower. I know hand throwers. It ain't nobody. I don't know anybody else in the business who throw hands.
Nah, we got to keep that energy as soon as we get out of here. Yeah. We got to keep that energy.
Yeah.
You was just talking all this hot mess and something.
Already throw hands. Already Fuqua will.
Yeah.
Yeah, already has. I'm talking about niggas who I've seen. Steve Burns, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Steve Burns.
I'm talking about niggas who yes.
Wow.
Steve don't walk away from a fight.
Really?
Remember, he's fucking, what, Vietnamese and fucking Irish?
True. That's a lot of anger.
Oh, Korean. Korean and Irish.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's two fights.
That's two different fighters in one fight.
You don't want that energy.
But I seen other niggas walk away from fights.
Yeah, sometimes you,
sometimes you gotta walk away.
Wrong with diffusing it if you're like, you know what, this is not worth it, whatever.
But if you see one of your boys about to get into some shit and gotta you walk away, then that's
gotta be there.
You're supposed to be there when niggas
you start. A sucker if you leave.
Yeah, exactly.
But I understand why they didn't take it to physical, but who picked this dude?
That is my question.
So what's going on now with all this? So
hold up, this happened this year?
Is his album number one?
Year. I haven't.
Is his new comedy hilarious. Album number one in his
I think, but this is the issue with a lot of people that look at like YouTube famous and like Instagram famous people, and it's like you put them on stage.
For comedy, yeah.
And
they're not
they
comics.
can't hold
pie.
This down. Yeah,
they eat humble pie.
There's no editing this to make it funnier.
No.
There's no. This is just your fan base. Yeah. You are now in front of an international audience.
Yeah,
people from every different background
one
you can
the,
imagine.
The biggest festival in the country.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
or one of them.
You thought your stuff was selling like it does to your people online.
Mm-hmm. And no,
nope.
Online is not. See, live performance. We'll clean up a lot of mess.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just get on stage and do that shit, and let's see how the audience reacts to
yep.
it.
And because if you can carry that on stage, then more power to you. But
yeah, if you got skills that you learn from doing it.
Yeah.
But you can't just, you gotta do it to be able to do it well.
Yeah. I did a show in Cali. We filmed this thing. I think it was for like Oxygen Network or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was this weird thing where they were pairing comics with YouTube famous and Vine famous stars. At the time, Vine was still a thing.
Right.
And they paired us with them and we had to coach them for their first live stand-up comedy performance.
Right.
when I tell you the, every one of them walked off stage like, this is really hard. And we were like, yeah, it is. Yeah, we know.
Yes.
Yeah. And what made it worse
is we're trying to give you a crash course.
Yeah. You had to follow the comic that coached you.
Oh, why did they make you them follow
and
them?
And I'm like, that's so not fair. That's not fair.
No, that is exactly fair. So you understand what you're getting into.
It's fair if you want to teach them how to be better at it.
Yeah, yeah.
But if that's the end product.
Exactly.
That ain't fair.
That's not fair to them because you're already instilling fear in them because they're going to see somebody how who knows done. How to
but
do it.
But that's what they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. They wanted that kind of drama. It wouldn't have been the same.
Them? Well, I'm like that. I like if they wanted to destroy those Vine people.
You're like, I'm with that. They can destroy them all.
You're following Chappelle tonight. Good luck, Vine asshole.
Insert Vine star here.
But in the meanwhile, we all have to follow everybody.
Yes. Yep.
Everybody
yes.
in business.
Yep. I remember getting phone calls from friends that were like auditioning at the Cellar, and they'd be like, what if I have to follow a tell? I'm like, you're going to have to follow a tell. At some point.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, you might as well accept that. You're going to have to follow Chris Rock might walk in, Chappelle.
I followed all of these sons of bitches.
Exactly. So it's going to happen at some point. Why live in that fear? Just be like, all right, well, if it goes good, great. If it doesn't, you understand what happened.
You got to dive in.
Adjust.
Yeah. You got to dive in.
Because it is intimidating when you see. I was at Gotham one night and Seinfeld showed up. And it was for Comedy Juice. And I had gone on before him.
Right.
And I felt so bad for the comic that I was going to have to go on after him because the audience just lost their mind.
They lost it.
They
yeah.
jumped out of their seats, standing ovation before he even said anything.
Yeah.
And then imagine.
I would have loved to follow him. That's what I live for, those moments.
Yeah.
I live
following
for that.
Following that energy, you could see the fear in the comic's face.
I go up there like this.
That's when you know you got it.
Yeah.
Thank you to my opening act, Jerry Seinfeld. I never heard of him, but you guys seem to like him. And I would have dusted that fucking mic off and took that fucking room.
Amen.
They would have laughed and I would have moved on.
They would have laughed and I would have moved on.
You got to take control of those situations.
Huh? But a lot of people will look at that, especially if it's like a newer comic.
Yeah, yeah, I can see how.
I was watching. Oh, yeah, who's the guy that does the big bringer show? He does at Gotham. Andy, is it Andy?
Oh,
he used to do it at Caroline's.
Anyway, right? Yeah, I know you're talking about.
I stopped by his show one night.
Engel.
Yeah, Andy Engel. Remember, we were at that show. Me and James were at the show.
His mother's a famous photographer, by the way.
Oh, is
he? Yeah, she took that famous picture of American Girl in Italy or whatever, in Sicily. But she took the picture of that famous picture.
I did not know that.
I mean, I know stuff about people.
You know stuff.
I mean,
you really
it matters
do.
To me. I mean, it's business. It's my people.
We went to a show of his, and Gaffigan stopped by to do a couple minutes. And he goes up on stage, does a great job. I mean, he's obviously a known headliner.
Yeah.
And the kid that had to follow him.
Oh, my God.
This was so painful. First of all, he was so nervous. You could see it in his face.
Yeah.
And he got up there. He did one joke. It didn't go great. He did another joke that went okay and then walked off stage.
No!
Like,
now,
literally,
that's the worst thing you're
going to do. It was like 3 seconds of comedy.
That's the worst thing you're going
to do. And my heart, I went into the kitchen to get a bottle of water, came out, and people are clapping, and the kid's walking off. And I'm like, well, I was gone for a second. And I was like, what happened? And James was like, he just walked off stage.
James was hosting?
No, James was watching.
James. Okay. I'm James.
I'm thinking James Mad Dog. I'm so caught up in a story.
Then
where was the host? Was the host happen to still be there and ran back on
See, stage.
See, the host could have went out for a cigarette.
Exactly.
That's
I was
how
like,
John,
you
one
don't
time that
stage.
Happened at the Cellar a long time ago. I ain't going to say the comic's name because I don't want to embarrass him.
Okay, but after.
But he got on stage.
But whisper it to us.
And he, and this is what, there's like, there's a whole, yeah. And I'm hosting. Mm-hmm. It's like a second show or whatever, like 11 o'clock show. It's packed. He goes on stage. He might have followed somebody big or something. I don't remember. But he got on there, wasn't having a great set. But I'm outside. I'm just hearing. I heard after he wasn't having a great set. And then next thing I know, he's walking out. And I'm hosting. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Wow.
So I run back inside, jump on stage, and it's like, y'all give it up for blah, blah, blah. And then I did some jokes and brought the next person on. Then Esty watched every show. She saw it. He never played there again.
I bet.
Because he got on stage. And then that's what Dave Attell came up to him and was like, oh, Uptown Comics coming downtown and eating humble pie.
That is hilarious.
Oh, I got to find out who that was.
Yeah. I can't wait till you tell us who
that
was.
I'll tell y'all off. I don't want to.
So I can go,
Never played it again.
You got to stay there and eat it.
You got to take that beat.
You got to eat it for every single second you're on stage.
Yeah.
I told you about the biker one, right?
What is it? So.
All right. So just so y'all understand this story, my worst gig ever. I'm 2 years into comedy, and I think I'm the shit. Because all my peoples are telling me who I did bringer shows for in Boston. You know, all my friends that came out, they telling me, oh, yo, you fucking man, you better than everybody.
Yeah.
I'm eating it. I'm eating it up.
Head was getting swollen.
There's video footage I have to this day that is me at the comic strip, right? With my boy Kamal. And we, like, in front of Chappelle's, like, first headshot or some shit. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm at the comic strip doing the damn thing. Doing Gladys' show. I'm acting like I'm booked on the lineup. Like, yeah, they got, you know, Chappelle right here. He can't see the kid, right? Yes, I'm gassed. So at the time, I'm going by James the Glow Goff. That is very important to understand.
Wait a minute, The Glow?
The Glow.
Yeah.
So that was your comedy name. Okay.
Yes, James the Glow Goff. Favorite movie, The Last Dragon.
Oh, right.
Hence The Glow.
You got The Glow?
Exactly. So I'm working at a hotel front desk. Lady comes in to get a block of rooms.
Right.
We talking because people like to talk to me. And she says, yeah, I'm doing a fundraiser. Without even finding out what the fundraiser's for, I go, hey, I'm a comic. I donate my time because I'm that kind of a dude.
Oh,
right?
I know. Mistake
so
number
it's
one.
Me, my boy.
Where was this hotel?
This hotel, it was like a Comfort Inn or something like that in Randolph. In,
okay. New Jersey?
And no, this is in Boston.
In Boston.
In Weymouth.
Boston. Okay.
So my boy's the cameraman. He drives me to the gig, right? Is at a VFW. Outside of the VFW,
it's right, a patrol the table.
Oh, my bad. There's a patrol car, right? I look at the cops. Ooh. I'm young and black. I'm like, the fuck y'all looking at? Eat a dick. Drive into the VFW. I understand later why they were looking at me like I was stupid, because I was performing for the Massachusetts Outlaws, which is apparently the Hell's Angels rival. Right? So as I'm walking in,
this is gonna go over great.
I know nothing about biker gangs, so I'm still doing the show mad hype, right?
I'm so scared for you.
All
right
these
now.
Biker dudes is outside.
White bikers.
They see me, they go, oh, you the comic? I'm like, yeah, we ready for you, boy. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna tear it up. I'm oblivious. As I walk in, there's a dude in a wheelchair with an oxygen mask, right? He's clearly on his last legs. Mm-hmm. And you ever watch a TV show and in slow-mo, you lock eyes with somebody?
Yeah.
Like, that's how it was. So we locked eyes. He's like, oh. The whole fundraiser was to raise money to try to save his life. Like, he was dying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the lady comes up to me. He's like, all right, check this out. He's leaving, so we're going to need you to bring the morale back up, right? And I'm like, how? Right. So as soon as the band's done, you're just going to go up there and tell your jokes. So I'm a young comic, so I don't know how to tell her, like, look, I need you to have them just in front of me and not in a circle like a mosh pit.
So wait, this is like on the floor of
the VFW.
So right in the middle. So
in the middle.
Around.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get her
in
to at
circle
least
style.
Standing up.
Right.
No one's sitting. Everyone's standing
this
with
is
me.
Theater in the round.
Weird.
And they all standing around you.
You know when
theater in the around.
Oh my God.
That's what it was. So
weird. You know when Dane Cook did the whole Madison Square Garden?
Yep.
I did it before. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. At the
VFW. So half the room is civilians. The one half of the circle civilians. They love me.
Okay.
Right? The other half is all the bikers and I'm eating it.
Uh-huh.
Right. And at this point, Bestie, I go, I've never done crowd work. I'm gonna try it now.
Oh no, Lord have mercy.
Because I'm the next Chappelle.
Oh, Jesus. And this is how many years in?
This
year?
Is 2 years in.
Yeah. 2 years in, clearly.
Oh, this was comedy making me its bitch, right?
Yeah.
So I picked the smallest guy in the room, right? And I go, hey, because that was smart too.
Of course.
I go, hey, what's your name? He goes, Scooter. I go, ha, that's not a biker name. And no one else laughed.
Oh.
Some big dude named Tank came from behind him and was like, say that again. And then I did the whole gay thing, like, you work out, huh? All right, I'm going to go into my closer. So my closer, I would fall on the floor. It was a corny, hacky bit. And I would like fall on the floor to like act out the bit.
R.I.P. to that closer.
As soon as I fall on the floor, Scooter comes and starts dragging me on the floor.
No! Like,
The bikers are dying. He goes, look, Tank, mop and glow. They lose. My friend is taping the whole thing. Like, yo, this is fucked up.
Oh, no.
And then I get up, I dust myself off. I go, yo, that's been on my time. They was like, yo, you a liar. Where you going to be at next? I was like, I quit comedy. And I just left. I apologized to the cops on the way out, too.
Oh, damn.
The glow. But,
yes, the glow. And the glow was retired after that. He had no more glow.
I know.
Wait, the civilians laughed at the glow line, too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a group effort on that one.
Yeah.
He really brought the room together.
Scooter's touring right now, if anybody's interested. Go to scooter.com. He's on the road.
Let's be open up for him from time to time. We still do that bit.
That's a hell gig. And your friend taped it?
My friend taped it. I still have it on one of those small ass cassette tape joints.
That's brutal.
No. Yeah.
First of all, just for them to be in a circle around you, standing around you, is weird.
So fascinating.
And I try, but I'm young, so I don't know how to be forceful. Like, nah, this is how I want it, or I'm not performing. Yeah. I'm more like, can we kind of...
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool, don't you think? And she's like, nah, let's just do it like this.
Yeah. That's what you get for fucking conversating with people at the fucking front desk.
Yeah.
You should be working. You in there fucking trying to book dates.
You walked into a
and me thinking I was funnier than what I was.
Mm-hmm. Hilarious.
But comedy, that's what it'll spank you. But
yeah,
that sounds
that's
like
what
a
it
hell
ruins
gig,
you.
Though.
But I put it. I brought it on myself.
No, yeah. Yeah.
I can't even blame this on nobody. It was my cockiness that I was like, come on. Yo, you know what? Fundraiser, I don't even know what it is. I'll donate my time. You're lucky I'm doing it.
How long did you stay out? How long did you stay till you got on stage again?
I went up immediately.
Yeah, you have to.
You got
to
go up immediately.
You have to.
Yeah,
because
if you don't, it's like a fight. If you don't, you got to fight again.
If you don't get into another fight, then you're going to be scared the rest of your life.
Yeah. You actually got to fight that dude again if you lost.
That's why it's always an awful thing when you have like 4 or 5 shows in a night and then the last one's not your best one.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, now I got to get up early tomorrow and do shows.
I got to do comedy at 9 a.m. tomorrow so that I feel right.
It don't matter if you kill the first 4. It don't matter.
No.
That last one is sticking your fucking heart.
What makes it worse? If you don't even have the gig next night. So you got to try to scrounge out something.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. I just need 2 minutes.
That's why I hate when these clubs on the road are trying to stretch out a Sunday show or Saturday third show. Mm-hmm. It's like, nigga, just do 2 Friday, 2 Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they just want to get drink money, they don't care if it's a packed room or not. It could be 30 people, but that's the show you got to end on in a city.
Yep.
And I'm like, no.
After you've been killing all weekend.
All weekend. You got to end on a fucking dumb brunch something.
Now I'm looking at you like, I'm looking at the book like, you're not going to count this one, right? Because you saw the other 4.
Right.
The other 4, I was murdering here. You said I was God.
And that's when they could be like, nah, it's light.
Yeah.
That's what makes Sunday wasn't looking good.
Sunday was really light, so... Yeah.
And you can't argue because that's the last thing you remember. It's like, it was
you start
like
making
that.
Up shit. Yeah, you know, my voice, I couldn't really project the way I want. You know, from the other 4, I was killing.
You're like,
you know?
I tweeted about the show.
Remember, I did like an hour.
They're the worst. They always had that dumb show. And let's talk about Trump going to prison because that seems to be.
Ooh. No, he's not going to prison.
I don't think he's going either.
No,
I don't think he's going anywhere. But
the
Manafort,
block is hot.
Manafort, what, he pled guilty to 8 or was found guilty?
He found guilty of 8 and then homeboy Cohen, he pled guilty.
He dropped a dime. Yeah, he's pleading.
Cohen.
Cohen.
Extra G on
those hoes.
We are even.
Right, he did kind of make
Cohen.
It more Jewish.
Cohen. You did it desert style.
I sounded like Bob, the Asian dude in the Karate Kid 2. Miyagi. Cohen.
That's extra Jew in there. He's dropping dime, apparently.
You know he is.
Because he's got to tell some
he's
stuff
scared.
To get this plea. This plea comes, this is a plea.
But it's
I'm
like a
glad that
plea.
Everybody's spilling the beans. I'm glad that
Yo, shout out to Omarosa, man. I always liked her.
Omarosa. You know what?
Omarosa ain't do shit.
I always believed in her.
Come on now.
Omarosa.
If it wasn't for her snitching.
Is it Omarosa or is it Omarosa?
Omarosa.
Who gives a fuck-a-rosa?
There you go. That's
exactly how you pronounce it.
Or Omarosa.
Yeah.
I'm going to roast that bitch when
but
I see her.
Apparently, I think Cohen is just telling. Because Trump came out today and said that he knew about the payoffs after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's trying to change it.
Before he said he didn't know about them at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Does this smell like
and
something's going
And then he
down?
Came out, yeah.
That seemed like lying, guys. I feel
oh,
like,
wait a minute.
I feel like
what's
that seems like
you
lying.
You can lie now, though.
You can.
Oh, okay.
But
the truth is not the truth.
It's fake news.
Hashtag fake news.
Hashtag fake news.
Wait a minute, I gotta find. But do you think
I'm surprised that that's not all he's tweeting? Hashtag
fake
news.
Yeah, but you know what? All the lies There's something honest about it, because this is the first. There's no president, there's no politician who's a president that has not been full of lies. And now we see it, and it's gross. Yeah. And at least we see
it. Did you peep the memes, though?
We got Jared.
Not yet.
I got Jared Becht. He's supposed to call in on a show.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he wrote the book, What Happened to Bernie Sanders.
Ooh.
Mm. But he was trying to call through. I guess it wasn't working out.
No, our number wasn't working.
I'm calling him now, but he has a great book that I want to.
They got.
Bernie, you look like you are a Bernie supporter there, G.
Yeah, she definitely was.
Feel like you
she
might
more
be
more Bernie
there.
Than anybody else.
Are you a burner?
She has a tattoo on her lower back.
Oh, my bad, bestie. Damn.
It
says Bernie for life.
Do we have a call number here, Matt? We don't have the call number?
We don't have a phone anymore.
God damn it.
Well, there's problem number one. There's no phone.
Yeah, here making collect calls.
Problem number one, he was calling to a non-existent.
He was pressing calls again from the women's penitentiary.
I thought everything was straight with this.
Damn it, Sherrod.
I was looking at you in the hoodie, and I was like, "Yo, that's a dope hoodie." Then I remember it was mine.
It's your hoodie. But do you really think that Trump's going to get into any trouble? Because you can't really, like, indict a seated president. So
I think what's going on now is that.
No.
Well, what's going on now is they're trying to he knows that he's doing all these campaign rallies to kind of take their energy off of whatever's happening.
You think that's why he's dancing around in Virginia? Yeah, doing that
that's exactly why he's doing that. And he's going to have more of a presence in the upcoming elections for the Senate and the House, because he wants to make sure that the seats stay in the Republicans' favor. Because as long as they stay in the Republicans' favor, they're going to keep following whatever he wants to do because of the base.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they're stuck with him, like it or not.
Yep.
So if that's why it's important for us to vote, because if the Democrats can take up seats in the Senate, in the House, then now he gonna feel the pressure because is checks and balances now.
Yeah.
There's no checks and balances.
No,
yes, there are. Yes, there are. And the fact that the country hasn't collapsed, and people go, this is chaos. And the fact that he's been elected.
Secret meetings with Putin.
But the fact that there is this whole process that you're watching right now, that we're all watching, means that the system works. I was like, he broke it. No, it's working.
Yeah,
we're watching it work.
You're watching some of it work, but if we don't get control of the House and Senate, it's not going to go anywhere.
Mm.
If we don't get control of it. But yeah, but here's the election's coming up in November.
Yes.
They can lose Congress over this kind of shit. And then he's going to have more scrutiny than ever, because it's going to be a Congress that's against the president.
Even if the Republicans.
So it looks like it all smells like it's trouble for the Republicans and Donald Trump.
But even if the Republicans retain control of the House, like worst comes to worst, it's the same as it is now. The process will continue the same as it is now.
Well, it's going
to
be worse for white people. Black people always been fucked up. You know, blacks and Latinos, we've always been getting the short end of the stick.
White people are going to be fine.
White people in West Virginia, that's where he did the Trump rally.
Yeah.
First of all, there was two black dudes there. I was wondering why the fuck they were there.
Guys, I just watched a YouTube video about a time traveler who said Trump's not going to win again. So everybody calm down.
Okay.
Everybody relax.
Because I was getting worked up, bestie.
He's not going to win again.
But nah, there was a dude holding up a sign saying Trump is for coal. Like,
as soon as they start the debates, it doesn't matter. As soon as they start the debates and he starts calling people names again, it's over. No, the presidential debates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As soon as that starts up and he starts calling people low energy
and whatever, it's done.
How we all
Plus
remember
he's brilliant in that.
He ended. He didn't.
You know he was
Hillary
good roaster.
He's got some zingers.
Hillary didn't just lose. He ended the Clintons himself.
Yeah.
That's a skill. That's a skill.
Yeah.
Nobody else has done that. And everybody in Washington.
I think everybody around him is going
to
crumble.
Nobody likes the Clintons.
No,
people work
he's
going to
be fine. But he's going to throw every outside of prop. Well, he would probably throw his family. I think he would throw everybody under the bus except for his daughter.
What about Jared Kushner?
Yeah, you're right.
Everybody except for his daughter. Jared, he would throw under the bus.
Kushner and Ivanka are a unit, so he's not going to fuck with
him. Yeah, but I can see him still throwing her under the bus.
Yeah,
he would still throw him under the bus if he had to.
No, he wouldn't. No, because he wouldn't fuck with Ivanka. He really loves her.
No, he would fuck
in a creepy
her.
Way.
No, come
he would fuck
he
with Ivanka.
Fuck
of course, we all know he would.
Stop saying
he
truth.
Said,
he would
stop fuck it. He has said that if Ivanka wasn't his daughter, he would date her.
Fuck with her.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was just a clumsy-ass father way of saying I got a hot daughter.
Yeah, he's 70.
Remember when we saw Hulk Hogan rubbing fucking suntan oil on his little girl's back? Yeah. And we was like this. Look at him about the fuck.
Nah, he didn't say anything creepy, though.
Fuck situation.
No, he didn't say anything creepy, though. though, but that was creepy, dude. You don't make that mistake as a father.
No, I feel awkward
when I have to bring my daughter into a public bathroom when they see me bring her to the men's bathroom. I'm like, yo, this is my daughter. I just say it. Say daddy.
Yeah, say. Don't ever tell her to say daddy, too. You're not making the situation better.
Oh, that's so awkward.
Say daddy.
And that's how I ended up in lockup.
There you go.
Immediately, there's a white lady on a phone somewhere like, oh, he said, call me daddy.
He was very forceful.
Bathroom Beckett. He got a bathroom Beckett.
Bathroom.
Normally, we wouldn't have cared, but he made a scene. He was very adamant about it.
He made a scene.
I don't know why he felt the need to let us know that. We didn't care.
Yeah, I don't think Trump. I think if anything happens with him, it's going to take a mad long time before it happens. He's still going to be in office.
You don't think all of this will cause something to happen to him in some way?
Unless it's legal, I think his base won't be affected by it.
No, his base is not going to be
affected. Won't be affected by much.
So if he can still get the same votes with all this shit coming at him,
he's going to be fine.
He looked like the fucking Teflon Don.
Yeah.
We got to wrap it up. Let's do some pluggy plugs.
That's flu.
Yeah, plug it up. You got some stuff you want to plug? Instagram, Twitter, whatever.
Yes. Check me out on Instagram, GBrione. The website is GinaBrioneComedy.com. Facebook is G Brione, Twitter's G Brione. Facebook's Gina Brione, Twitter's Gina Brione. Only Instagram is G Brione. I got that totally confused. Pay no mind to everything else I said before this moment. You can check that out. I have some stuff airing on HBO Latino coming up as well as True TV. So please do add me on social media.
Excelente.
Excellent.
James O.
Thanks
for coming too, Jay.
Check me out. www.jamesgoff.me because that's the last thing about me. Instagram is cjamesgoff. Check out the hashtag Dad on Ones. If you're in Atlantic City, I'll be at the Borgata the 14th and the 15th doing the Lord's work.
Nice. White daughter.
Well, as you know, I am the white daughter. Me and Abby Rosenquist have a new podcast called Book Sluts, which is launching tonight, Wednesday, August 22nd. Thank you.
That's
it is
a
such
great
a good
name.
Podcast. Y'all should be on it. And you can follow me at Karen Margolis on everything. I'm going to delete Twitter, maybe get back on. I don't know. I'm not about it. But on Instagram, which is always popping, Keren Margolis.
Well, you're not on Twitter anymore?
I don't tweet. I don't like it.
Oh, it makes you a little uncomfortable.
I find it gross, yeah.
Yes, a bunch of filthy people on there. Angry people.
Just screaming at filth all day long. I would rather do it on this show.
All right, that's the end of the show. I want to thank everybody who came for the birthday show. Was that last week?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was last week.
That seems like... Thank you, everybody who came to Comedy Cellar for the birthday
show. Once again, happy birthday, Pete Lee.
Thank you, sir.
Happy birthday, Daddy.
It was a great show. We have so many people in the air performing. It was so great. We got our next Small World Comedy Show coming up in a couple weeks. Go to smallworldcomedy.com or comedyseller.com for the information. It'll be down there. It's going to be a good show. It's going to be a good show.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's it. Race Wars. Y'all had fun?
Very much.
Yeah. All y'all mothers.
We out.